Overcoming the trials and struggles of life. That's next, right here on Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray.
Zion, I build with hands, and in this place, God, I dwell with man. Sick be healed, and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
The trouble with life is that daily grind, the everyday trials and struggles we all face. Someone has said, life is one long train of trouble we must break. But how? Well, today on Grow in Grace, we'll begin to learn how to overcome or get through the struggles and trials of life. Pastor Ed Ray will be in Hebrews 11, starting with verse 32.
And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's stop there and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Make these verses come alive for all of us as we walk our way through the course that you've set for us, that we might see you in both the difficult and the blessed times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the guys stopped me and swore this was a true story and I should share it with you. He said he had taken his wife on their anniversary, the 20-year anniversary, to Hawaii. I said, wow, that's really amazing. He said, well, that was 5 years ago. I said, well, what'd you do for the 25th? He said, I went and got her. So we're talking about trials and difficulties, of which I will have after telling that joke. That is a section of scripture that actually has two groups in it. You'll remember the letter was written to Jews who were going through very difficult times in Rome. And that the writer is encouraging them to not go back to Judaism. They were being persecuted by Nero because they were Christians, but Jews were not being persecuted. So they were tempted to step away from Jesus, from the Messiah. And he's been giving them all the arguments why Jesus is better than. And now in this chapter, sometimes called the Hall of Faith, he gives a long list of people who are the heroes and the heroines of the faith, that they are those in the Old Testament who had a spectacular walk with God, some of them achieving just amazing things. But he also gives us, in the second half of this list, the people that just had struggles through their lives, and some of them were martyred for their faith. Because that's what's happening in Rome in 67 AD when this letter was written. There were Christians being martyred for their faith. So it's an interesting letter in that he compares those who were able to do astounding things for God as being equal with those who work their way through the trials and sufferings of life and just serve the Lord. And he makes them equal. What turns out, as it first seems to be a list of perfect people used by God, when you look carefully at the individuals, they're not. And that's another point of encouragement for you and I, that in fact, these were imperfect people, many of them who had very flawed characters and went through some really obvious sin in the Old Testament. They're not mentioned, their sins are not mentioned in the New Testament. Why? Because God said, I will forgive your sins, your iniquity, and I will remember your sins no more. So all their dirty laundry, if you will, is in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, they're only lifted up as people who, by faith, served God. So you'll remember that this chapter is about faith. It's about the faith of these people. They trusted, they believed in God. What God said was true. And so we have here the believer's life on display. Now, nowhere in the New Testament does it promise us that a believer's life will be easy. In fact, Jesus often said the opposite may be true. He said in John 16:33, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. You will have struggles. But you stay in me, in Jesus, focused on him, which is really what this section is saying. He'll get you through everything and anything that would come against you. So he is talking in the second set of scriptures about a race, not a 100-yard dash. He's talking about a marathon. He's talking about your life being a marathon. And you're on a course, you're on a pathway that God established for you. And we shouldn't be looking at each other's course because ours is unique. God gave it to us. Well, I wish he had, yeah. Why would God allow that to happen to me and not to them? Because God chose something for me, for you, that's different than the person down the aisle from you, or maybe even the person you're married to or friends with. So, he's talking about pressing in, enduring. Paul said the same thing to the Philippians. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Jesus wants me to do, I press in. I push on. Now, you have to be careful with this section of scripture because as you heard when I read it, he's saying endure. He's saying push on. He's saying do these things. But salvation is a gift. And God will get you there. And so I don't want you, particularly if you're a visitor and this is your first time here, I don't want you to get the impression that you can earn heaven. You cannot. I cannot. No one in heaven earned it. It was a gift given from him. It's called grace, and the word means a gift from God. Favor with God that you don't deserve, that you don't merit. So that's kind of the overview of this section. It is a great list of Old Testament people, heroines and heroes, who most Christians today are not very familiar with because we don't study the Old Testament, the church in general. We do here, but most churches don't. Why? Well, because there's some parts that are real dry and they seem like they're just history. And we miss that they were written for our edification, for our admonition, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Every story is there to help you and me through our walk with the Lord. So here's an introduction to Old Testament characters. The whole chapter is a list. We're in the last part of the list. I would say, if you haven't read these Old Testament stories, go back and look at the Old Testament stories yet. Kind of puts all their dirty laundry out there. But then when you get to the New Testament, read it again, you'll realize what a miracle it is that God used flawed people like me, like you, to do his work. So this section breaks up into three parts. chapter 11, 32 through 40, they did not receive the promise. Even though they did all these things, they're still waiting in heaven for us to get there. Jesus doesn't want us to miss the party. We'll look at that. And then the first two verses of chapter 12, run light. Don't have any baggage. Don't take anything extra along with you. The more things you can throw off like a long distance runner, the easier the race will be. And then don't get discouraged. Keep your eyes on him, verse 3.
We want to pause here for just a moment to welcome those who may have just joined us. This is Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. And now to take us deeper into our scripture from Hebrews 11, again picking up at verse 32, here's Pastor Ed.
For what more shall I say? Saying that there's a lot more I could say. There's a lot more characters. In fact, I could make this chapter the longest chapter in the Bible, but I need to move on to the application of these things. There are many things that I could say, but for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. And he said, well, here's just a sample of the people that we could talk about. So here's the summary. Gideon, you should go read it if you don't know the story. Judges 6 through 8. A guy who had too many people in the army, and God kept thinning it down and chopping it down until there were only 300. They were going up against 150,000 of the enemies of Israel, the Midianites. And then God told him to arm them with strange implements, with a clay jar and then a torch up in it so it covered the light. And in the other hand, they held a trumpet. What are we going to do, Gideon? We're going to beat them over the head with our trumpet? No, God will show you. And they broke the jars and the light shone and they blew the trumpet. And the Midianites thought it was a whole army attacking them and they fell on each other. So Gideon believed God, trusted in something that was unseen. Couldn't see God, couldn't see that God was there ready to help, but he believed what God said. That's the key to this whole area. We saw the first verse gives us the definition of faith. It says, faith is in fact the foundation, the substance of things anticipated. That it is the evidence of things that God has promised. It is the evidence of things that are invisible. What? Believe what God said and look for it and step out. Put yourself at risk. If God said to take the gospel into the whole world, go. Wait a minute, I don't like bugs. Well, if you don't like bugs, God won't send you a place with bugs. He has something else for you. Well, I don't like hot. Well, you'll probably serve in Iceland then. You know, God will bless you with something that fits your... I'm teasing, okay? So things that are unseen, faith requires us to step out. Belief requires me to trust in what God said is true. And I'm hanging on this one just a minute because some of you here have never trusted in God. You've never put your full weight on him. You've never relied on him completely. Without faith, verse 6 said, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is. We must trust that he is real. And that requires a step towards him. Well, I can't see him. Well, that just tells me you're trusting in your five senses like I used to, only trust the things you can smell and taste and hear and see and weigh. No, God is saying, if you want to see me working in your life, you have to step out in faith. Trust me to get you there. So that was the first one. Gideon, Barak is in Judges 4 and 5. He was a man who would be a deliverer of Israel, but he needed the help of a woman, Deborah. And so I think that might be true in all cases for all of us men. Samson, Judges 13 through 16, the strong man. Most of us as kids heard the story of the guy who they thought it was his hair, his long hair that made him strong, but it wasn't. It was the vows that he took for God. Jephthah, Judges 11 and 12. He was the illegitimate son of Gilead. through a prostitute. And I say that to you so you'll understand this list is not people with sterling backgrounds. He was thrown out of his family. He joined a tough group of guys. But when Israel needed a leader, he took that place. He's listed as someone who trusted God, who believed God, trusted in the things that were not seen. David, 1 Samuel 16, what? Why is David here? Didn't David kill a guy, Uriah? Didn't he have an affair with his wife? Yes, and he did a lot of other things. But he trusted God. He kept coming back and asking God for forgiveness for his sin. He confessed his sin, and God forgave his iniquities. He said, when I tried to hold back my sin, Psalm 51, then my bones became old. But when I confessed my sin, then he forgave my sins. So David's there. Samuel is there. He's probably the only one that you can look at and say, well, he might be able to be the right guy here. He's a prophet, the first prophet who made the first king of Israel king. He anointed Saul. And then when Saul died, he anointed David. So he's on the plus side, maybe. All the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the way through to Malachi. These are all people that trusted God. Many of them put their life on the line to serve him. So these, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they took on kingdoms, they were able to put other armies to flight. Joshua did that. Most of the judges did in the book of Judges. They worked righteousness. They made right judgments. They made justice a normal thing in the land. King David and Solomon and Asa and Hezekiah, all these kings of Israel that were right before God. They obtained promises. God said, if you go into the land, Joshua, I will give every area that you put your foot in, every place you step. Actually, God's saying that to you. Every place that you step, God will give to you if you do it in faith and sharing him with others. Stop the mouths of lions. Whoa, we think of Daniel. Of course, that's exactly what happened in Daniel chapter 6. He was praying towards Jerusalem, and the jealous advisors of King Darius's court turned him in. He's arrested. He's thrown in this lion's den all night long. He's in with hungry lions. And he just fluffs up the side of a lion like a pillow and sleeps on him. And God protected him from that because he was doing what God wanted him to do. Now, how did they do this? Who through faith? The first three words. By believing, by trusting, by relying on God, they took chances and God protected them. Verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys thrown into the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. David did over and over again as Saul was trying to kill him. Out of weakness were made strong. The prophets like Jeremiah, he complained to the Lord, I'm but a youth. And God said, don't say you're too young. Don't say you're a teenager. I know you're brainless, but I'll use you anyway. I'm just kidding. I'll use you anyway. And he went before the king, and God used him. And he became valiant in battle. All these other men did. Certainly, Samson did that. They'd come on him, and he'd beat him every time. Because he was such a sterling guy? No. He had all kinds of character flaws. He was a womanizer. And God had to rebuke him over and over again. But finally, at the end, he served the Lord and was valiant in pulling down the Philistines' temple. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These are not people from Mars. These are the armies of foreigners who came against Israel over and over again. So when you look at these like Gideon or Barak, they were chicken generals. Not that they were generals over chickens, but that they were fearful. They didn't want to go into battle. And God had to bring other people into their lives to help them make the decision. Jephthah was a kid from the wrong side of the tracks. David was the run of the litter, the smallest of the eight in the house of Jesse. Jeremiah resisted the Lord at first, and then just complained to him through most of his time as a prophet. The women that were mentioned that their sons were raised up, they were not even of Israel. They were from foreign countries. But God blessed them anyway. No one would have thought these people as destined for greatness. You just wouldn't have looked at their life and said, yeah, God's going to use that person. They were flawed. They're jars of clay. That's what Paul said we all are, that we are cracked pots, if you will. We're dirt vessels that contain great riches. God in you. Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit taking up residence in your life and giving you a heart of flesh and changing you from the inside out. God likes to work with ragamuffins. We won't ask for a show of hands, okay? But that's the good news for all of us, that He is using people to this day who are flawed and they are overcoming. Now, our struggle, we are in a war, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual enemies, enemies of God in high places that are coming against you and your family and what you're trying to do at your job or whatever it is that you're endeavoring to do because you sense that God has called you to it. You are opposed with a lot of things coming against all of us. Now, God invites us to be part of His kingdom. Yes, salvation is in the deal. We're going to get to go to heaven for eternity. But He promises to be with us in a battle that's taking place in your life already. And so if you haven't invited Him in, you should. Start praying, start serving, start loving. He mentioned this list, the violence of fire, the edge of the sword, weakness, and put these armies to flight because He's trying to encourage us to do the same. Verse 35, women received their dead. This is the widow of Zarephath. Her little boy was raised to life by Elijah. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Whoops, wait a minute. Something just happened here. Right in the middle of this verse, the author kind of shifts gears on us. He goes from those who were successful in their life, even though they were flawed, God actually blessed things that they put their hands to in a way that we can all look and say, wow, that was pretty cool. But now all of a sudden, He starts talking about these other people were tortured. We won't ask for a show of hands of people who would like to join this crowd. But He's saying it's possible to be serving the Lord and find yourself being tortured with not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What's a better resurrection? One better than the widow of Zarephath. Her son was raised up, but then he died again. This resurrection that's coming for you and I will be for eternity.
The hope of a better resurrection. Pastor Ed Ray concluding today's Grow in Grace on a high note of encouragement to meet the challenges some of us may face. But all of us, no matter what we face, can do so by faith in the one who's able to raise us up. Now, if you joined us late or you just want to hear this again, go online to thepackinghouse.org. We archive our programs there for you so you can listen anytime you'd like. Or call and ask for a CD copy at 844-77-GRACE. Now, you know, it takes a team to bring you Grow in Grace, and we look to our listeners to help make this all possible. We have an exciting resource to tell you about. It's a book titled Eternity in Their Hearts by Don Richardson. In this excellent book, Richardson shows how God has prepared the way for the gospel by setting eternity in the hearts of men and women throughout the ages. We'll send you this special offer with our thanks when you support Grow in Grace today with a gift of any amount. And as you give, you'll be helping many others around the country and around the world to grow in grace as well. Just give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. Now, even if you're not in a position to be able to give, we still want to hear from you. Your email would be a great encouragement to Pastor Ed. This lets us know where Grow in Grace is having an impact by God's grace. Our email address is Packing House Radio, at AOL.com. That's Packing House Radio at AOL.com. Then join us for the next Grow in Grace as our study of Hebrews continues with Pastor Ed Ray. This program is brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands, California.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love and harmony. I said let this world know me by your